Come closer, my friends. I invite you to step briefly out of October 1777 and into my era, the 19th century. Who am I to do this? Why, I am Mary Westbrook Van Dusen. I was born on February 13th, 1829 in Fishkill, New York, and died on October 16th, 1908. In my day, I was a writer of stories and poetry. Among the many stories I wrote and even published was that of my grandmother, Rachel Dumont. I published her story in 1883 in my book, Rachel Dumont, A Brave Little Maid of the Revolution. I remember my grandmother telling me how she rallied for her family to safety when Kingston was put to the torch. It is a story I have grown up on and a reminder to me that women were indeed very much a part of this country's crusade towards independence. Yet we are seldom mentioned. What is worse is that the role of slavery during the American Revolution in the North is not mentioned at all. I am guilty of this, for in my book, well, how would you put it in this century? I whitewash the plights of slaves and depict slaves themselves as mindless and senseless. Though my grandmother's story is very dear to me, I recognize the folly in how I went about telling it. Well, let me regale it for you now. 242 years ago, on the 16th of October, on a day as hot and dry and unrelenting as the burning itself, a small village under the Catskills was startled in the morning by a cry, "The British are coming!" This was, of course, during our Revolutionary War, which was fought to free our American colonies from the unjust tyranny of Great Britain so that we may establish a government for ourselves. The village, which I have just mentioned, was Kingston. In this village lived a brave little girl, 15 years old at the time, by the name of Rachel Dumont. She was the eldest child of invalid parents, with her three sisters and one brother. In her house were also 20 slaves, for slavery did indeed prevail in New York at this time. In my book, I wrote that a gentler form of slavery prevailed in the North. Having returned to Kingston now, in the 21st century, I now realize that there is no such thing as a gentle form of this brutal estate. I shall attempt to point out more language like this as I read from my book, so that you too may see the stain of truth beneath the whitewash of lies. Now, in my book, I write, Rachel was the little mistress and housekeeper, for some of these family servants had grown quite old and infirm, and some were children younger than Rachel herself. Rachel was careful of all the wants and of needs of those she cared for. She was more than worthy of the affection they so freely lavished upon her. Now, how I was much like those former slave owners of my time who tried to mollify our guilt with euphemisms such as servant. But back to the story. On the day of the burning, Rachel was arrayed in beautiful holiday attire consisting of a white tunic and blue skirt with long blue stockings with black pumps ornamented with large silver buckles. Her chestnut brown hair was closely tucked under a dainty white muslin cap. There were but a few stray curling locks free that sported with abandon in the autumn breeze. It was Rachel's 15th birthday, and she was in brilliant spirits. Her deep gray eyes danced with delight, yet had a wistful, faraway look. It was as if the expression on that child face foretold the tragic drama to come. Rachel had just emerged in costume when the alarm sounded. "The British are coming!" This assailed her ears. While enveloped in warm autumnal light, she summoned the manservants and told them to get the large wagon, to spur the horses to readiness. Meanwhile, Rachel warmly yet urgently aroused her invalid parents. "The British are coming," she said, and loaded her siblings and parents onto the wagon. "Oh, do come with us, please," the passengers cried. But Rachel declined and reassured them, "God will bring me to safety once I finish the task charged of me." Now the little girl for a moment went in her dear old house, which was filled with so many endeared associations, Tears overflowed her face and eyes, yet she dashed them away, and kneeling beside her mother's chair and lifting her eyes heavenward, she prayed for a moment. Go forth with me and my loved ones. Lead them to a place of safety. The lurid flames threw an unearthly light upon Rachel's holiday dress. Again, she was ensconced in that autumnal light. Now, my book wrongly assumes that slaves would not have had the sense to leave a burning city and that they depended on my grandmother for that. But now let me get back to the story. The men and women servants waited for her to lead them forth. Every eye was on that little girl and every arm ready to be raised in her defense. As Rachel left her home, she found a red scarf near her mother's chair. She draped it around her waist. Thus was our little lieutenant general robed for her fiery trial. Stepping quickly toward her troops, she lifted her right hand over her head and with a firm voice and great candor bellowed, "In God is our trust. Come, my well-loved. We will not be afraid. He shall be with us. And through the fiery flames so envelop us, he will lead us forth." While I do believe that my dear grandmother was instrumental in getting her family out of Kingston, the idea that slaves were senseless beings waiting to be ordered to their safety leaves me with sadness at a lifetime of my racism. Well, thank you, my dear friends, for listening to my story. In the words of former slave Sojourner Truth, who climbed the steps of the Ulster County Courthouse just a year before I was born to fight for her son's liberation, "Truth is powerful and it prevails. May we all continue to seek truth and justice in the land of the free."